Open your Bibles to the book of Jude, and we'll go to verse 24. God is able. Jude brings us to the close of his little letter, and his letter is absolutely packed with truth. And he tells us at the end of this letter that God is able. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes to your truth, to your word. Encourage us, strengthen us, teach us. In Jesus' wonderful and powerful name we pray. Amen. I want to make sure you have the note sheet because you are going to participate with me here with some of the scriptures. Notice Jude verse 24. The second to last verse of this powerful little book. And Jude tells us here, to the one who is able. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may have heard this at the close of a service in a church where they give this benediction, this blessing, right here from the book of Jude. It is a doxology of praise, giving glory to God. That's in verse 25. To God our Savior, be glory and majesty. So that's in verse 25. But verse 24 tells us to whom the glory is addressed. Now, let me ask a question. Have you ever been concerned as a Christian? If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, have you ever been concerned whether or not you'll stay faithful to Christ? With all the confusion in our world, the false teaching, and the weak, weak Christianity, are you wondering if you will stay strong in the Lord or not? Well, here's encouraging news from the book of Jude. He ends with this doxology of praise. We're going to study verse 24 today. Is God able to protect us from falling prey to the false teachers? Yes, he is. Jude has been warning us all through his book about the encroachment, the infiltration of false ideologies, false thinking, false teachers. And now he comes to this doxology of praise because God deserves praise because he is able to protect us from falling from false teachers and not only to protect us, but to present us blameless before him. Notice, first of all, God is able. He is able. Isn't that a wonderful truth? Will you say it with me? God is able. Say it again. God is able. Notice in your note sheet a couple other verses where we find this idea of God is able. That he has power. That he can. Romans 16:25. Read it with me. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of mystery kept secret since the world began. Isn't that great? He is able to establish you. Read with me Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Dean Norman Spotts made a profound impact on my life. He was the dean of students. He taught theology in Old Testament, New Testament introduction, and he had a class called PMT, Practical Ministerial Training, or as he called it, his preacher boys. I'll never forget him. He's in heaven now. In 2012, I was in Florida, and I attended a church, and A brother there served at Clearwater Christian College, and he said, you know, I think I could arrange a meeting for you with Dean Spotts, who was retired at this time, if you would like that. I said, I'd love that. I went to the campus of Clearwater Christian College, and we had a cup of coffee together, and another brother was with us, and I reminded him of how he always ended his prayers with this: now to him is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. And so out in the parking lot, we had prayer, and he prayed that again. What a verse. To him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God's ability, his power, his strength is shown throughout the scriptures. So let's do something together. We're just going to quickly read these verses. Stay with me and read it out. Matthew 3:9. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Mark 2:7. Why does this man speak blasphemy like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is able to forgive sins but God alone? Exactly the point. Jesus is God. He can forgive sins. Luke 3:8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Luke 5:21. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is able to forgive sins? It's only God. John 3:2. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That was Nicodemus' testimony about Jesus. No one is able to do these signs like you do unless God is with him. And God was with him. He was Emmanuel. John 10:21. Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Of course not. Jesus can. Philippians 3:21. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot, he is not able to deny himself. Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Isn't that great? He's able to aid, to help, to succor those who are tempted. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save from death and was heard because of his godly fear. God is able to save from death. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus is able to save forever. See that? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 7:25. Look at James 4:12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? And I was so interested to see this. Some references where it tells us what the Word is able to do. So read these with me. Acts 20:32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Oh, this is why we need the Word of God and the Word of His grace. It's able to build us up, to make us strong. In 2 Timothy 3:15, and that from childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's why we need to feed children, youth, the Word of God. It's able to make one wise to salvation, points us to Jesus and faith in Him. In James 1:21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. You get a little flavor of God is able. He is able. This is the Greek word dunameno, and there's a word related to it, dunamis. We get our English word dynamite from that. So it means to be able, to have power, whether by virtue of one's own ability and resources or of a state of mind or through favorable circumstances or by permission of law or custom. To be able to have power. Jude is giving praise to the one indeed who has power, who is able, who has the ability. Now let's go on. Now to him who is able, Jude verse 24, notice the next part, to keep you, to protect you, to guard you, he is able to guard. He is able to protect. He is able to keep. What a blessing. And this word means this, to guard, to watch, to keep watch, to have an eye upon. I like that. We've heard it in the last few days twice, on Wednesday night on Zoom, and this morning. His eye is on the sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches me. He's able to keep his eye on, to keep guard over, to guard a person or thing that he may remain safe, that is, lest he suffer violence or be despoiled. To guard, that is to care for, to take care not to violate. And this definition I love, to protect by taking careful measures. Guard, protect. Well, wonderful definitions. God's guardianship is personal. Now to him who is able to keep, to guard, to protect you. It's personal. And these believers that Jude was warning to contend earnestly for the faith, to guard the faith, to watch out for false teaching infiltrating, he reassures them that God is able to keep you. God is able to protect you. God is able to guard you. God's guardianship is personal, and God's care extends to his saints, to his children. Praise God that we can sit back and relax. We can trust him for our salvation, to keep us in spiritual battles. Now I want you to notice something. In verse 20, Jude says, you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. Praying, building up,
and looking, verse 21, for the mercy. The core command as we studied is keep yourselves in the love of God. Three ways to do that. Building yourselves up in the faith, praying in the Spirit, and looking for the return of Jesus. And as we do that, we can rest assured that God is the one undergirding us, holding us up, keeping us all the while. And as Paul said in Philippians, work out your own salvation. Not work for, but work it out. Produce it, for God is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So God is at work keeping us while we are concentrated on keep on loving Him and building ourselves up in the faith, praying in the Spirit, and looking for Jesus. Now let's read these scriptures together where we have this idea of guarding. This will give us some color. We'll flesh this out. Notice the context of some of these verses. Acts 12:4. Read it with me. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, to guard him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So here is actual guarding of a prisoner. Keep that in mind. Acts 28:16. Now when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him, who kept him. You think that soldier kept an eye on him? I think so. God is able to keep an eye on us, guard us, protect us. Absolutely. 2 Timothy 1:12 together. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Isn't that great? He is able to keep, to guard me until that day. 2 Timothy 4:15. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. You keep an eye on him. He's opposed the work of the gospel. Guard him. Keep an eye on him. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Wow, what a verse. The Lord is faithful. He can keep you and protect you and guard you from the evil one. Who's the evil one? Absolutely, the devil. 2 Peter 2:5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. He saved, he guarded, he kept Noah. In 2 Peter 3:17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Beware, take watch, guard, that you would not fall from your steadfastness. 2 Peter and Jude are cousins or brothers, and so Peter is giving the same admonition. Beware, watch out, guard yourself, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness. And John, in his little epistle, says this, 1 John 5:21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Guard yourself from idols. Protect yourself from idols. So we see in these verses actual physical guarding, keeping an eye on someone. We see here the idea of protection. We see the idea of keep away from idols. So here is a little flavor of what God is doing to us. He is able to keep us, to keep an eye on us, to protect us. And what is he able to keep us from here in verse 24 of Jude? Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, from falling, from tripping up, stumbling in order to fall. He is able to protect us from that. The definition is really good. To lose one's footing, stumble, or trip. That is a miserable experience. Have you ever done that? You're going along, you're not paying attention, and the sidewalk raises up like 2 inches. And you didn't see it because maybe you're looking at your phone or you're doing something else, but your toe sees it and catches on it. And all of a sudden, you're trying to maintain your dignity and stay upright. And sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. Stumbling, it's a miserable thing to stumble and then to fall. It's miserable to stumble spiritually. Praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to trust in God who is able to keep us from stumbling, from falling. Here's another definition of this word. Not stumbling, standing firm, exempt from falling. It was used of a horse. A serious thing to be a rider on a horse, and it's a serious thing for the horse, whether it has a rider or not, to stumble, to fall. It can break a leg and then become not useful at all. This word only occurs here in the New Testament. To not stumble, to stand firm. It comes from two parts, this word. The first part means not, and the other part means to stumble. And that part, the part that means to stumble, does occur in other places. But let me share some definitions of that word, to stumble, to err, to make a mistake, to sin, to fall into misery, to become wretched, to lose one's footing, to stumble or trip. There's some scriptures where that word is used, and let's read those together. Under number 3, Romans 11:11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. James 2:10. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. James 3:2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. So the word that Jude is using here, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, is a word that has the word stumble plus not stumble. He is able to keep you, make you not stumble, so that you're not stumbling. And we see ways right here in the book of James. James says we all stumble. We stumble in word. In our tongue. If we don't do that, we're mature, we're perfect, we're able to control the whole body. He argues too about the law. If someone says, well, I'm a good person, I don't break the Ten Commandments. Well, have you ever lied? Well, yeah. Well, what about the commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness? So as God sees it, it's a chain. And if you've broken one of the links in the chain, you've broken the whole thing. You're guilty. That's how the scriptures see it. So he says, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he's guilty. He's still a sinner. So we can't self-righteously say that we have never stumbled. God's desire, though, is to keep us from stumbling. He doesn't want us to stumble, and he's able to do that. We need to be cooperating with him by verse 20 and 21, doing what he says, building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit, and watching for the coming of Jesus. So he is able to protect from stumbling. But let's go on. There's something else. The he is able part goes with to keep and to present. See in your verse, it says the little letter to. to keep, to present, these words complete the idea of he is able. So now we see not only is he able to protect us, he is able to present us. This is really powerful. He's able to set us up, present us before him. And this word to present means to cause or make to stand. Cause one to make his appearance faultless before. Jude 1:24. To place. I like this. To come up in the presence of others. Come up, stand, appear. I can tell you, I can't think of a more awesome moment than the day that we stand before Jesus. I can't imagine a more awesome moment. Go back just a book or two to 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Abide in him is Jude 20 and 21. Abide, build yourselves up in the faith, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. John tells us here, abide so that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him in his presence. He is able to establish us. He's able to stand us up. He's able to stand us up without the stumbling. Praise God. He's able to present us. And not only that, but to present us, look at the verse, faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He is able to present us before his glory. The glorious presence of the resurrected, ascended Jesus Christ. One day, dear friends, we will stand in Jesus' presence. As the songwriter said, I can only imagine. We're going to stand in his presence. We're going to stand at the Bema seat of Christ to be evaluated for what we did in our lives as Christians. What a day. God is able to make us stand there and not be ashamed and grovel, but to stand. God is able to preserve us unto that amazing moment when we will see his glory before the presence of his glory. Glory. The Greek word is doxa. It's a great word. The condition of being bright or shining, brightness, splendor, radiance, or majesty, that which belongs to God. The kingly majesty which belongs to him as the supreme ruler. And so we will stand in the presence of his majesty. Another song that says, majesty, worship his majesty. He's able to keep us from stumbling and to present us, to cause us to stand before his glorious presence. And so day by day, we need to be living and abiding. Jesus may come back in 2021. What should we do? Be in a nervous flurry every day and wonder what's going on? No, we should be calmly abiding, building ourselves up in the Word, praying, looking for His coming, and not waiting till the end of the day to confess sin, but confess it on the spot and maintain fellowship as we rest in Him and abide in Him and depend on Him and pray all through the day, breathing out prayers to God. Lord, I need You. Help me, Lord. Lord, will You please help me with this problem? He's able. He's able. And notice this. He's able to present us before His glory without blame. This is a great word. It means to be without blemish. Blemish. As an unblemished lamb that would be brought in sacrifice, we are to be without blemish. He's able to do that. Look back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, that is, that's how we're redeemed, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So as Jesus was that unblemished lamb, He shed His blood to redeem us from sin. And if we will put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then He is able to present us before Him without blemish, without spot, faultless, an unblemished lamb according to the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jude is giving praise to God for and encouraging these believers. We have been redeemed to live a new life in Christ, to show forth the wonder and glory of the Lord Jesus. He's able to present us before His glory without blame. Notice, it's not that we have been sinless our whole lives, because we're not. It's we've been forgiven and cleansed. The blood of the unblemished lamb has been applied to our accounts, and our sins have been removed. Praise the Lord. And then lastly, He is able to present us before His glory without blame in rejoicing. This is loud joy. It's exuberant joy. It's a shout of praise. Just think about that. Jude says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that God is able to keep you from stumbling and falling. He is able to present you without blame, faultless, before the throne of His glory. And to do that with exuberant joy, exaltation, extreme joy is the idea. He is able to give a piercing exclamation, an exaltation of joy. And you are able to do that one day in His presence. Hallelujah. We're home. We're home. There's a long bridge that connects Tampa, Florida to St. Petersburg, the Howard Franklin Causeway. It's very long, and it has two sides, one direction, the other one the other direction. And there was a story that was told of a fellow that apparently was a little confused, and he was going the wrong way on the bridge. And the patrolman came around him and tried to get him to stop, but it was futile. The guy wouldn't stop. So the patrolman then protected him and got him to the other side, and finally he stopped. And he went up to the man. He said, "Fella," or maybe it was old fella, "do you know you were going the wrong way?" And he said, "Well, I made it, didn't I?" It's not going to be like that with our joy. It's not that we were going the wrong way. We're going the right way. And we say with joy, "I made it, Lord, but it's because of You. It's because of You. It's because of Your protection. It's because You've kept me from stumbling. It's because of You that I made it. It wasn't because of me." We're able to rejoice with exceeding great joy. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you blameless, faultless, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding great joy we'll gather before him. With shouts of praise we will magnify his saving name. What a doxology of praise. And I don't know about you. I know about me. I need the God who is able every single day. I need him. Salvation is by grace through faith. As we apply this, we are saved by grace through faith. The gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. If you haven't taken that to yourself, to your own heart, believe the gospel, trust in the Lord Jesus to save you. And then, if you have, let's depend on him. God who saves is able to keep. He can keep us from falling headlong into error and corruption if we will day by day abide in him and cooperate with him. We must continually find in the God of the Bible the anchor of the soul that we need in these troubled times. He is able. Let's pray together. Our Father, I thank you so much that you are able. I thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection that we might be saved. Lord, if there's anyone hearing this message today who's not yet trusted Christ, I pray, Lord, that they will see that they can be forgiven, indwelt by your Spirit, upheld by your mighty hand. Lord, I pray for every believer who may be thinking, you know, I'm worried that I'm going to fall into some temptation. Lord, I pray that we will turn that worry into trust and we'll say, God, you are able. I pray that we'll turn it into opening our Bibles for strength and to prayer and to watching for Jesus coming and humble dependence. Say, Lord, I'm weak, but you're strong, you're able. Lord, stir our hearts with these words, and we thank you that one day you will gather us before Jesus with exuberant joy, with exaltation. We thank you for that. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.